You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com. Today's talk comes from Pastor Louis Giglio.
It's important today that you know what Above and Beyond Sunday is all about. And the obvious answer might be it's about giving, it's about expanding, it's about opportunities, but that's not really at the heart of Above and Beyond Sunday. God wants you to know what this day is all about for you. And I shared this at a Grove gathering a couple of years ago, but it's like a lot of you experienced this summer coming through the summer months at the swimming pool with your littlest ones. Anybody have little kids that are just getting around water for the first time? Anybody this gathering? Anybody remember that era in your kid's life before? It's terrifying and frustrating all at the same time. For the kid, it's terrifying because they're a foot and a half tall and the swimming pool looks like the Pacific Ocean. For the parent, the mom or the dad or the aunt or the uncle or the brother, sister, neighbor, whoever, it's frustrating because all you're really asking is a 21-pound child to just fall into your arms. But that moment is tense, right? And so the dad, in my case, at the swimming pool in the apartment complex where I grew up, my dad would be like, come on, come on, come on, jump, jump, jump. And I'd be looking like, no way, I'm jumping. This is not gonna happen, you know? And so you start with the initial jump, which really isn't a jump. It starts with human contact. So your mom or dad or whoever it is reaches and touches you on the side of the pool, right? And says, come on, let's jump. And then they jump you and your toes go underwater and they put you right back on the side of the pool. You didn't do much, but you feel okay, but slightly terrified nonetheless. And then you progress, right? If you've got ability, you progress to the lean. And the lean is, I'm gonna jump, but no, I'm really just gonna lean. I need you to be holding me the whole time while I now lean into the pool. There was no jumping involved, but yet now I got underwater and quickly mom, dad, whoever got me back in their arms. But eventually you get there and you're like, I'm leaving the ground. I'm leaving the ground of my own volition. I believe enough in the arms, in this case of my dad, that his arms are strong and his heart is good. And then if I leave the side of this pool, he's gonna catch me. Even if I only go a foot in the air, he's gonna catch me. And you're hoping that his arms are strong and his heart is good. We all had the crazy uncle in our family who his arms were strong, but his heart wasn't good. And he said, jump, and then he backed up and we went under all the way to here. And then he grabbed us and pulled us out, screaming and yelling, and then, you know, said he didn't do it. And that scarred a lot of us. Some of you still are not good around water because of that event in the past. But our mom, our dad, their arms were good. My dad's arms were strong and his heart was good. And I remember when I could finally jump. And I would go airborne and he would catch me. And what would he do? He would grab me and he would, you know, give me a little quick dunk, but then he would head me off to the steps and back up out of the pool or head me to the ladder. And I would jump and back to the steps and I would jump and back to the steps. And that's the way it went until finally I got comfortable with that. And I was like, hey, I'm gonna get a running start. So I would do like three steps and then a big jump and, you know, kind of land in the water and need a little assistance. And then I graduated to a little bit older season of life where you could jump in the side of the pool, the medium side of the pool. And then I would get in the pool and get on my dad's shoulders and we would swim the whole pool together. Well, he would swim, but I'd be choking the life out of him the whole way down the pool while he swam. And then I graduated to the point where I was gonna dunk my dad. Do you remember that season, anybody? No, he's going under with all the might I have, and three of my friends were on my dad and he's going under. And then I got to where I could jump in on my own. And then I got to where I really didn't want my dad at the pool. Not in those shorts that he was wearing. Or if he was at the pool, it was like, Dad, I'm in the deep end. I'm hanging out with my friends. Please don't call out to me or call me by any nicknames or embarrass me at all. It was that progression the whole time. And all the while, my dad wasn't ever trying to get me to do something. My dad was trying to get me to trust him. And that's exactly where your heavenly Father is right now. He's not trying to get you to give something or earn something or do something before he just wants you to trust that his arms are strong and his heart is good. And if you jump, he will be there for you. The thing that moves the heart of God is faith. Even so, the Hebrew writer said that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Notice if you have your scripture coming down to the end of chapter 10. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 35, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous ones, notice what he says, will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. So no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter what the climate is around us, we keep stepping out in faith. We're not shrinking back because of what we don't know. We're stepping forward because of who we know. We've learned over time with little leans and smaller jumps that we can trust God so that even when it doesn't look like it, we might back all the way up to the fence and say, look out everybody, here I come, because I'm confident that the God of heaven is in charge of my life. This is the life that God loves. In the same way a parent loves it when their child says, I don't fully understand, but based on the track record of the way that you have cared and led me, I'm gonna go with it because I believe your arms are strong and your heart is good. And that's a human parent who does not get it right all the time. That's a human parent who sometimes needs the child to help them take the step. We're talking about Almighty God, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he describes what is this faith in the next chapter, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. For by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. In other words, we're starting with a God who just spoke into existence everything that we see. He had no components to work with, just the power of his voice. Echoing what the proverb writer said, the power of life and death is in the tongue. And if you're the creator of the universe, when you speak, things move. And so we're beginning with a God who out of nothing has made everything. And then this chapter just goes on and on and on about people like you and me. He says, Abel brought a better sacrifice and was pleasing to God. He said, Enoch walked with God so much so and so close that one day God took him up and he was no more. They never found him. And it says, before his being taken up, this was the story of Enoch's life. He was pleasing to God. And you're like, well, how did Enoch get so tight with God that God would just take him up one day? How did he get that title or that label, that description that he was pleasing to God? How do you live a life that's pleasing to God, that moves God, that sets God in motion so much so that he says, today, I'm just choosing to bring you on home. How do you do that? Well, it says about Enoch's life in verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And then the Hebrew writer just says, you want some examples? Okay, let's start with Noah. He had the chance to save his family and the generations to come. But to do that required him constructing an ark, though he had never seen rain. But yet by faith, he believed God's invitation and Noah's family was saved. He says, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place that he would later inherit, he went out. There wasn't a map, a destination. There were no markers along the road. He just heard the voice of God saying to him, I've got a purpose and I've got a plan. Do you trust me enough to take that step with me and know that my arms are strong and my heart is good? He says a little bit later about Abraham, he believed God when he was so old, he was as good as dead, and God gave him a son through whom there would be a mighty nation. He trusted God enough that with that son, he said, if you ask me to, I'll lay that son down in your hands in your sovereign grace, believing that even if he dies, you'll have the power to raise him to life again. He said, my God is a God who can provide. His arms are strong and his heart is good. And then he just goes down the list. He says, and how about Moses' parents? They took the baby knowing that there was anointing, but they put the baby in the current of the sovereign will of God. And then it says about Moses that he chose the affliction of God's people than to live in the house of a ruler whose heart was wicked. He moved out in faith and followed God and saw waters part and saw the miraculous provision of Almighty God. It talks about Joshua and how he saw the walls of Jericho fall. It talks about Rahab, who had a pretty checkered past, but yet she understood what God was doing in the moment and made a way of salvation for the spies. And all of these people have two things in common. They pleased God with their trust and faith. And secondly, they all found that faith in uncomfortable situations. So here's the story of where God is leading you today. You might want to just take a little quick snapshot of what comes on the screen. God is for you. The God of heaven is for you. He wants you to succeed, not fail. Yet he knows success does not equal comfort. In the same way your parent knew that you standing on the side of the pool all your life and all the other figurative moments like that wasn't what was best for you, you had to get a little bit uncomfortable and feel slightly terrified to know what it was to fall into your father's arms. Thus, God knows it's necessary to lead you into uncomfortable territory in order to build the confidence that he is enough no matter the situation. This confidence congeals into faith. Faith that pleases God, gives us peace, and brings God glory. Today, Passion City Church is meeting in the Shaw District in the Howard Theater in our nation's capital. Because 4 years ago, standing right here, Ben and Donna Stewart said yes to God. That's the pre-moving to DC Ben Stewart in the middle, in case you're kind of checking that out. And together as a house, we stretched out our hands and we stretched out our faith, and we all took a step together and said we believe that God wants to open a room of our house in the nation's capital. And so here we are 4 years later with a burgeoning church of thousands of people in DC, community groups meeting all across the city, an amazing team leading the way. And even today, some of the giving from Above and Beyond Sunday today is going into the DC Future Initiative so that we can start stockpiling the necessary resources to get a place we call our own in the nation's capital. But all of the joy, all of the celebration, all of the messages that have come out of that house, all the ways this house has touched people, senators and Supreme Court justices and people in the executive branch of government are in this house consistently, not to mention people who work all throughout every aspect of government and the military, and just people building businesses and building families there. All of that has been amazing, but it is amazing because Ben and Donna, holding the hands of their three children, said, "We're willing to take the step of faith." And none of us really factor that in. And really, honestly, none of us would fully know that, nor would we know what Brad and Britt carry or Grant and Maggie carry. We wouldn't know fully the sacrifice, but we know that Ben and Donna left Texas, a place that they knew and a state that they were pretty sure they were gonna live in for the rest of their life with their people, relocated to Atlanta, gotten our flow, prayed about a few cities that were on the horizon, and then moved to the nation's capital, ended up there in the middle of one of the most contentious seasons in our nation's history. The district's been shut down for a year and a half, can't meet in this venue or that venue or any other venue, and they've just been plowing away, building a church, just being faithful to God so that the name of Jesus is being preached in the heart of our nation's capital, that where it is needed most, Jesus' name is being lifted high. We should give a little shout out to Passion City Church DC, to Ben, to Donna, to the team there. They've done amazing, but it's all because they took a step of faith. And now we look back and we say, wow, put him in the list. Put you in the list, because God is wanting you to step into what to you looks like an uncomfortable space, but that uncomfortable space is necessary so that he can build that confidence in you, so that when you can't see the circumstance around adding up, you still know, I've got a foundation under me that is firm. And he's willing to take the time. So he's not gonna push anybody off into the deep end and say, good luck with you. No, that's not God's plan. God's plan is to take you where you are and lead you to a life that reflects the kind of character of faith that shows the world that your God truly is in charge of it all. In Ezekiel 47, there's a picture of a vision of the kingdom of God to come. And this picture is a picture of the temple in Jerusalem. And it says there's water flowing from the altar, flowing towards the eastern gate, and it then flows south into the Kidron Valley. If you've been there, you know the Mount of Olives is here and Jerusalem Mount is there, and the eastern gate, the one that they've bricked up so that Jesus can't get through it when he comes back and puts his foot on the top of the Mount of Olives, so they block the gate so he can't get in when he comes and returns to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. Good job bricking that up. That should go really, really well. But it says the water is flowing out, and it's flowing into the Kidron Valley, and then it's flowing down toward the Dead Sea, which is a good bit that way. And this person is showing Ezekiel around, and as he sees the water, this is what he sees. He says, for 1,000 cubits, that's the length of an arm, he says the water is ankle deep. And so he keeps walking, and then the next 1,000 cubits, it's knee deep, and then the next 1,000, waist deep. And he said, then when we got to the next 1,000, he said it was a river so wide you couldn't cross it, and it flowed all the way to the Dead Sea, into the Dead Sea, so much so that the Dead Sea was turned into a living sea, now teeming with all kinds of fish and living things, trees on every bank who are giving fruit in season. And the message of Ezekiel 47 is, where the river flows, everything lives. That's what the prophet said. But God didn't start with, hey, I just want you to go jump in a river that no one can cross. No, he said, I'll start with you ankle deep, and then we'll move ankle deep, and we'll move knee deep, and we'll move waist deep, and then we'll move chest deep and chin deep, and eventually it will be a big river, but you'll be ready for it by that point. You'll be ready by that point to say, I don't mind just being in the current if it's God's current. I don't mind just being in the wind if it's the wind of Almighty God. I want to go where God is going because his arms are strong and his heart is good, and I can trust him even if I can't touch bottom. And so he'll start wherever you are today. You're like, Lou, I've always wanted to be a part of changing the world, but I don't think I'm called to be a missionary, and we talked about going to the ends of the earth, and I don't know exactly how to start that process, and we've talked about people who've never heard the name of Jesus, people who don't have Bibles in their heart languages. I don't know how to start. You know how to start? Just get in the ankle-deep water on Above and Beyond Sunday. Because our house financially is stable. The good news of that means that what we're giving today isn't to keep the lights on. We've already got that covered. What we're giving today goes above and beyond what it takes to make Passion City Church work. So therefore, we can start thinking about and leaning towards things that are above what we're already doing, one of which is translating scripture into five languages, reaching 7 million people who don't have one word of scripture in their heart language. And so through our partner, we're going to be able to pick up these processes which are just beginning for five people groups. They're in stage one, meaning they'll get some of the New Testament and maybe some of Proverbs. That's stage one. So you just can't, all of a sudden, there's a whole New Testament and then tomorrow there's an entire scripture. But we are coming behind these translation organizations to say, we want to pick up these five languages and we want to encourage you as you step into stage one, and Lord willing, we'll be here sort of encouraging to make sure that these five languages get a stage two and a stage three and a stage four, and we want to be there on the day that an entire New Testament arrives for 7 million people who've never been able to breathe in one of the Spirit-inspired words of God. That doesn't mean that God isn't working among them. That doesn't mean that God isn't planting churches. He's sending people there. But to be able to pick up this word in their heart language, guess what? Passion City Church is going to be a part of that story. And we're going to stay in that story as long as God will allow us until these people hear the word that brings the gospel so that they can be saved and bring praise to Jesus Christ. And we're a part of that. So you can be in ankle deep water and say, I'm a part of bringing the scriptures to Bible-less people. But we don't want to stay in ankle deep water, right? We want to keep moving and we want to keep trusting as we go. We're making a big emphasis in this giving to ministries in the Middle East. So all throughout the Middle East, from Syria all the way down into the tip of the Saudi Arabia Peninsula, Yemen, Oman. We want to see churches planted, and we want to resource the pastors who are already there sharing the story of Jesus with people. You realize there's hardly anywhere on earth where there's not a church meeting today. Oh, it may be meeting quietly and in secret, but the gates of hell can't stop the church Jesus is building. And we have partners who know these pastors, and we're gonna help them resource them, train them, equip them so that they can continue to plant and strengthen churches all throughout the Middle East. So when we see a headline, we'll go, that is the headline, but there's also a byline. And the byline is God's building his church there, and I'm a part of it. I'm in that story because I was willing to give above so that our church could influence things beyond. And then locally, we talked last week about what we want to do in our city. And I won't go in depth into each of these causes, but you can understand when you see them that primarily we're serving the underserved. So we're stepping out into our community, particularly with children, to say there's destiny in you and there's potential in you. And we believe that if a pathway of education and opportunity can be created, you can fulfill all of God's purpose for your life. And so we want to invest in the pathway of education and opportunity, and we want to serve our cities, DC and Atlanta. And every dollar that's given today, a portion of it is going to go to these amazing organizations, these partners of Passion City Church. And then lastly, we are excited about strengthening our house. We're excited about Passion City Church. And yes, I already said it before, we're not looking to, you know, let two people go tomorrow or add one person tomorrow based on how the giving goes today. Our team has stewarded your giving very well. And so what we want to do is say, how can we be positioned for strength? And one of those things I just mentioned is the DC Future Initiative. And that's just us being ready for either a long-term lease opportunity or a lease to build opportunity or a partnership development that comes along or a property that comes available that we need money. We need a down payment. We need to move. We need to act. And so we're going to start putting money aside consistently and regularly because the opportunities there come and go in a heartbeat. And then lastly, we're thinking about the city of Atlanta. And in Atlanta right now, if you listen to certain experts who are studying the business landscape of Atlanta, someone has said recently that the population of Atlanta could double within 10 years, in less than 10 years. Now, to those of you who live in Atlanta, you're like, okay, this is the worst news I've ever heard. I was thinking about moving now. I'm 100% sure I'm moving. Well, when you move, somebody's gonna buy your house because Atlanta is gonna double probably on the shorter side of 5 to 6 years, more than like 10 years. People want to get to Atlanta right now. And have you met them? Have you met the people like I'm meeting people, all the people from California and all the people from New York? They're all moving to Atlanta. And the business climate of Atlanta is exploding. And so obviously we love Cumberland and we love celebrating the miracle of Cumberland today, the first Above and Beyond giving in the building at Cumberland today. Awesome and amazing. We love what God is doing in this neighborhood. And as you know, before we announced that we were gonna lean towards East Atlanta. And we had some great partnerships there, had a great location, great conversations. Brad was ready to make that move, and then the world shut down, and here we are almost a year and three quarters later, and things have just shifted a little bit in the city. And in that process, things shifted with us a little bit. And there is an emerging movement happening on the south side of Atlanta. Now, I'm a Northsider from way back. I mean, I was born in the city, raised in Smyrna, live near here in this neighborhood. And, you know, for the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, a lot of our Southside friends have said, do you ever think you'll come down to Peachtree City? And we're like, no. Do you ever thinking about McDonough? No. Fayetteville? No. Noonan? No. Tyrone? Mm-mm. No, we're going up, not down. We're upwardly moving Jesus followers. So I'm happy to announce that today we are moving south, and I'll tell you why. You know, this is not the will of man, this is the will of God. And I'm saying all this tongue in cheek. More importantly, the city is reshaping. And interestingly, a hub of, one of the brightest hubs in the metropolitan area is in South Atlanta, particularly an area called at Trilith. And if you don't know what Trilith is, it's a rebranding of an area called Pinewood. And in this area, which is down near Fayetteville, kind of started in the middle of nowhere, honestly, and that's not a knock, it's just kind of like where it started. emerged an artistic community which is impacting everybody's life in this building. Most of the Marvel movies, or a lot of the Marvel movies that have been made in the last 5 years, have been made at Trillith in the production studios that are there. Television shows that you watch are made there. The gaming industry is moving there. All kinds of media is happening there. And a new community is coming up out of the ground there. And it's attracting people from California, from LA, from Hollywood, from Austin, from New York, and from all over the world. It's a work, live, play community nearby all of this creative production infrastructure, and it's a thing. And a lot of our families are already on the south side, but some of our families are actually moving into Trillith. And so as the year and a half have gone by, we've just sensed, you know what, that's a place that is emerging as a beacon of Atlanta, and we'd like to be there on the front side as Passion City Church. Because we've already got a lot of people from Trillith Studios coming to Passion City consistently, have been for years, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, making an hour drive together. Some people that work as seamstresses and set builders and mechanics, and a lot of the more heart of house people in the movie making industry, been coming to our church week in and week out. So we're thrilled to announce today that we're going to plant a location of Passion City Church on the south side, Passion City Church at Trillith, and it is in motion right now. And we're pumped. So we'll be north, kind of central, and then down here south. The community, just a few little quick snapshots, you can kind of get the feel of what Trillith is about. You can take the QR code there. It'll take you to more information, or you can find it at passioncitychurch.com/Trillith, or you can go to the Trillith website and they'll tell their story in great detail as well. Aaron and Carmen Coe have moved to Trillith, our Trillith residents, and they are going to be leading our launch team as we begin to plant at Passion City Church Trillith. So our prayers, our faith, our belief is with you guys. They're collecting a launch team now and are looking to host monthly gatherings this fall. And we're praying that God's gonna do something amazing there. If you haven't been to Trillith, just drive down one Saturday, check it out. It's an incredible little community, and you can have a great lunch there. It's just a nice drive closer to the city than you think. So Southside guys, we love you. A lot of you have been commuting and serving in our house faithfully year after year after year. And so we're excited to come and to put a flag in the ground on the south side of Atlanta, the good side of Atlanta, where all the good people are down in McDonough. And so we're pumped about it. Passion City Church, South Side. Passion City Church at Trillith is coming. So some of our money today that's being given will go into a fund to help get that wave going. And there'll be a day not too far off in the future where we'll be linking in to DC and linking into Cumberland and linking into Trillith. And there'll be four people up on the screen because the city is gonna explode. And we wanna explode with it. So yeah, we're in a season right now where a lot of people aren't comfortable coming back to church, where every seat isn't full. But hey, we're not slowing down. We're on the edge of eternity with a God whose arms are strong and whose heart is good, and we're going in with him. So I want to invite you today, whether you're watching from somewhere around the world or whether you're at Cumberland or here 515 or you're in the Howard Theater in DC, I want to invite you today. This is your opportunity to grow in faith. God is for you. He wants you to succeed and not fail. But God knows that success and comfort are not the same. And so God is gonna lead you into uncomfortable territory so that your confidence can grow to know that he is enough no matter the situation. And that confidence, ultimately, it's gonna congeal over time into faith. Faith that pleases God, because that's what pleases God. It's not our giving today that pleases Him. It's not our showing up at Above and Beyond Sunday that pleases Him. It is our faith that pleases God. And it's going to give you peace. And it's going to end up bringing glory to God.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.